what you need is these teams to play in the playoffs, and I think ideally you have a situation where, you know, it becomes a deep playoff series, and maybe the Lakers upset the Warriors one year and then they want to get back at them. But I think right now it's too early to say they're a rivalry because, you know, the Lakers had missed the playoffs for five consecutive years and had gone through their worst stretch in franchise history. While, you know, the Warriors have been kind of a good team, right, winning three titles in the past 4 years. But if you look at everything right now, they have all the ingredients to make it a rivalry. They just have to mix it well together, right? You have LeBron James, who is already a rival with the Warriors when they're matching up against him in the finals. And then you have the whole NorCal, SoCal connection. You know, you have Luke Walton, who is a Warriors assistant now as the Lakers head coach. And you just have a lot of star power and personality. So too early to say, but I think if you just put it in the oven and put it on a, you know, at a warm temperature, you'll see some fireworks here.
Yeah, and it, as Matt said a little bit earlier, this Lakers roster is, in my opinion, considerably better than the Cavs roster that LeBron threw on his back and took him to the finals, which is why I said, look, any team that LeBron is on, I will consider the moment LeBron hits that roster page, them to be a rival of the Warriors on some level.
Yeah, without a doubt. I was actually talking with one of the Warrior or the Lakers young guys, and Kyle Kuzma, and he was making that same point that you just made, and he took a little bit of a shot at Cleveland indirectly, that saying that one of the things that LeBron lacked, you know, previously is high energy guys, and we feel like we provide that for him, a lot of youth and you know, energy that can help it be easier for LeBron in terms of his workload. It's a really interesting debate. Is Cleveland better than the Lakers with LeBron? I would venture to say the Lakers, compared to last year's Cleveland team, is better, but you can't discount the earlier finals runs when they had Kyrie Irving and then Kevin Love at a more effective rate than maybe last year. But you only have to look at the two preseason games, you know, against the Warriors. I mean, I'm not going to take much into the results or anything. I mean, the Lakers and the Warriors are both resting some of their guys at certain games, and no one's ever going to show everything. But you just saw a lot of highlight reels. You saw a lot of excitement on the court. The atmosphere was amazing. I mean, the tickets were in the high hundreds, you know, as far as an average seat price. So if nothing else, like, say the Warriors play them in the playoffs and it's an easy series, maybe that's not enough to be a rivalry, but it's still enough for it to be an exciting game. And for the Warriors, as we know, there's some times where they get bored, and it's kind of a chore for them to play in a regular season game. So the worst case for this is a game that they should easily get up for.
Yeah, they absolutely should. And another thing we're bandying about, given where the West is at right now, The consensus coming into the year was, this probably isn't the year that the Lakers are the primary challenger to the Warriors. And by no means am I saying this Lakers roster would have a huge challenge for the Warriors. But based on what I've seen from the NBA at large, I'm not sure anyone in the Western Conference has distinguished themselves as the elite challenger to the Dubs' reign. And it seems like the Lakers have as much chance as anyone to play in the Western Conference Finals right now, no?
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, you can throw in the Denver Nuggets, maybe OKC catches lightning in a bottle with Westbrook and Paul George, but I don't see anyone challenging the Warriors because of who they are, and let's not forget that DeMarcus Cousins is just going to come back at some point, and there's a lot of questions of, you know, how well does he integrate, how is Achilles going to hold up, can he adapt to the pace, but like worst case is a 75% or 50% of DeMarcus is vastly better than what they had at the center spot so far, with, you know, Damian Jones, you know, being inconsistent before he was out for the season, and then Jordan Bell and Kevon Looney. You know, Jordan didn't really get a lot of playing time because of his inconsistency, and Kevon is really good defensively but has a limited offensive game. But I think when you're looking at the Lakers compared to the rest of the West, I think it is wide open for them to at least get to the West Finals. Because just think of this. You have LeBron James. Obviously, when you have him, all bets are off, and he hasn't shown any signs of slippage. But the upside with everything else, it seems like it's only going to keep getting better and better because they have young guys that are going to continue to develop. And because of the fact that the Lakers are trying to accelerate this rebuild, they might be active in the trade deadline, where maybe they get rid of one of those young guys, if not more, but maybe it gets them another veteran piece. It's going to be a very interesting proposition of how they balance that, because they are kind of stressing the message of being patient. These guys are a young team, but they know LeBron is about trying to get back to the finals again. And how do they do that without compromising that kind of that cap flexibility? Because they want to be major players in free agency next summer. There's a reason why LeBron was saying earlier this week that he'd love to have Anthony Davis on his team. I think that's obviously a message to the front office of try to make that happen sooner than later.
Yeah, Mark, you're particularly I was interested to hear from you heading into this game because you've covered the Lakers fairly recently, and obviously you're now on the Warriors. So I'm assuming that you're at least kind of in touch with some of your old buddies that are in the L.A. Universe or orbit. Is LeBron going to let Luke Walton continue to coach this team? Are they getting along well?
Yeah, I mean, as far as I would have a better answer with the for you on that if I covered them day to day, but the sense that I get is that LeBron hasn't had an issue with Luke. I know when there was the reports out that Magic Johnson, had some choice words for Luke earlier in the season in a meeting and kind of dressing him down, saying he didn't like the slow start. You know, LeBron kind of played it neutral, but he hasn't done anything, I think, to undermine him. I think the more interesting dynamic is with the front office. I know that Jeannie Buss, the Lakers president and governor, she has been very high on Luke Walton because of his coaching pedigree, being a former Laker. And when you rewind back to when the Lakers were going through all this rebuilding, one of the issues she had with her brother Jim and the former Lakers GM Mitch Kupchak is they were going through so many coaches with Mike Brown and Mike D'Antoni and Byron Scott, and she felt like not only were there questions of did they hire the right coach, but they quickly pulled the plug after a few seasons. So she's of the mind that you need to have continuity. You need to have an investment in coaching. And so that is the interesting dynamic of to what extent has there been a push-pull of her being an advocate for Luke, while maybe Magic and Rob Pelinka, the Lakers GM, has been, casting a wandering eye of maybe bringing another guy in that they can hire. But, it's a results-driven league, and when they got off to that slow start, obviously the narrative was, okay, well, can Luke turn this around? But I think, in fairness to him, this was the result of a lot of young players, Brandon Ingram getting suspended, Rajon Rondo getting suspended, and frankly, the front office assembling this team where, they're were a lot of new pieces and some deficiencies as far as, not having those shooters and kind of random parts thrown together. But I think they are headed in the right direction. I think Luke is the right guy to do it for him.
Our guest is the one and only Mark Medina, who covers the Warriors for the San Jose Mercury News and the Bay Area News Group. Before we let you go, I know we spent the whole time asking you Laker questions, and I'm gonna do it again because
go for it.
What do you know about JaVale, former Warrior JaVale McGee, dealing with about a pneumonia? It sounds like out of the hospital, which is good, but is he all right? I know asthma has always been an issue for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll see. I know it's his hope that he is going to play because of the obvious implications of Christmas Day game facing his former team. The Warriors are planning to give him his ring. That's what they customarily do for any team that leaves. The first time they come back to Oracle, that's when they give them the championship ring. So if I had a guess, he will be back, and maybe it's just limited minutes, but they haven't put out an official word. But regardless, this game is going to be fun and exciting for all the obvious reasons that we mentioned of, the storylines, LeBron, and, I don't know if this is actually going to happen, but when I talked with the majority owner, Joe Lacob, for this piece I was writing about what would it take to be a rivalry, he suggested that he might be wearing one or all three of his championship rings as he's sitting on his courtside seat, and he hopes to flash it when LeBron James is going up and down the court.
I saw
I hope
that
he actually
tidbit.
Knows that because that would be hilarious.
I saw that tidbit, and if any NBA owner this side of Mark Cuban has the gall to flash rings at LeBron during the game, it is Joe Lacob. So fingers crossed.
Light years.
All right. Mark Medina, we always appreciate the time. Enjoy tomorrow. I agree. It should be a good game, and Warriors are starting to round into form, it seems. So have some fun.
Yeah, it should be a fun one regardless. I mean, the Warriors are usually entertaining, but you never know if, you know, one regular season game here or there is just kind of them going through the motions. But I would be very surprised if they go through the motions on this one because it has everything they need to get them amped up.
Read Mark Medina in the Mercury News in particular, what he published today, the what will it take for the Warriors and Lakers to become a rivalry. A lot of great stuff in there from players and coaches on both sides. And again, Mark, we always appreciate the time. I am Matt Kolsky. That is Michael Urban. Again, you cannot see me. It is an audio medium. I am pointing to my right-hand side where Mr. Urban resides. We got a lot of stuff to clean up before the end of the program. Got to squeeze in a little bit of Raider football. Got to get into this Warrior-Laker nascent rivalry. I don't know, maybe a little pick up the pieces? I don't know. I don't know if we'll have time on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Kolsky and Urban on 95.7 The Game.
One of the best yet. Matt Kolsky and Michael Urban. I mean, that's Gangstar, but we're also good. My hip hop references just lost in the eyes of Michael.
No, not
Urban.
At all. I get all of them. I thought that he was mixing in the rain / bacon sounder with this.
No,
for some
you want
reason.
Some bacon here? It's sizzling. I wish there was hot stove news. Pat Venditti, get excited.
Yeah. Ambidextrous pitcher.
That is cool, though.
It is cool.
I'm into the ambidextrous pitcher.
The glove is cool. I actually got to touch the glove and hold the glove.
Oh, you mean it's cold. Gary Payton? You held him?
No.
Seems weird. Seems
I
a little
to
weird.
I play pickup ball against Gary Payton.
Really?
Yes.
And you were
Jason
held by
Kidd.
The glove.
That was the backcourt.
That's
of their team.
That's one Oakland run right there.
Yeah, and Chris Mullin and Greg Foster were also on their team. We lost.
Oh, you were not on that team.
I was not. I was guarding Mullin.
Yeah.
We lost.
You were guarding Mullin.
We lost. And he said to me, I scored, and he said, nice left. And I'm left-handed. I didn't tell him that.
Of course you didn't tell him that.
And what's crazy is that Mullin was kind of known as, boy, imagine if he was quicker. He's kind of a slow dude. No.
Well,
maybe by NBA
relative.
Standards,
yeah,
but
relative.
Oh my God.
Well, let me ask you this, because you're kind of a big dude, Michael Urban. Were you afraid to put the wood to these guys, to the NBA players, or did you throw your weight around a little bit?
I had to, because on defense, Mullin didn't guard me. Foster guarded me.
God.
Yeah, and I mean, there's only been one guy that I've been on a court with that was harder to move than that guy. He was freakishly strong. Lee Smith. I played pickup ball with him when he was
the recent Hall of Famer?
Yeah, when he was an instructor. He's connected to the Giants in some way, and they used to always have full court runs at night during spring training at the complex that a lot of us rented places at. And Lee Smith shows up one night and seriously immovable, dude. I mean, the low center of gravity. He
well, Greg Foster's entire job was to be immovable on
right.
a basketball court. So I'm not surprised to hear that. He's a big dude.
I'm not used to being next to someone I consider gigantic.
Yeah, I would imagine most pickup basketball games you've played in, you're the biggest guy on the floor.
Yep, usually.
Yeah. All right, enough about our pickup careers. As exciting as they have been, I think we should move on to the actual professional sports. I want to get into something before we totally put the San Francisco 49ers weekend to bed. I thought, obviously, other than everything we said earlier, which is basically this is the best result the Niners could have hoped for.
Mm-hmm.
You compete, you play well, you lose. You don't need wins.
And young guys get reps.
Yeah, young guys get reps and look good doing it.
Mm-hmm.
The other notable thing was the fight.
Right.
And I think it was, first of all, I'm not sure it had to be a fight. I think Josh Bellamy probably sort of raised the level of intensity a little bit by slapping, I think it was Marcel Harris in the face. And then Richard Sherman basically had a choice to either play peacekeeper or to come in swinging. And he came in swinging. And I understand someone who might say, well, the veteran presence should be a calming presence. But let me just play for you the emotion his head coach had in response.
Sherm was very clear to me. He was trying to get his brothers back. And, you know, I love for guys to do that as much as they can. It's definitely better when they do as much as they can and they don't get ejected. But they had two get ejected. We had one. So I respect the heck out of Sherm. And I don't really see what happened.
Perfect.
Absolutely.
And he loves it.
And I love the way it's like, well, we won because they got two guys kicked out.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure.
I think that was a little joke, but he was hot about it, I think. And he loves it.
Those were bad ejections. Nobody should have gotten ejected.
No, not at all.
The point is,
not at all.
You like Sherman doing that. And then, as he always does, Sherman gave you a precise and well thought out description of his thought process.
At the end of the day, if you don't want your quarterback getting touched, don't run the quarterback. You know, I don't really care about the rest of it. The quarterback runs, you got a chance. You know, they're trying to protect him as much as they can, but if you want to protect him the most, don't run. But then they kind of took him on their sideline and surrounded him, and then pushing and shoving and grabbing and punching on him. You know, and these are my guys. You know, I don't care at the end of the day what the deal is. You're going to do all that and you let him go. You know, and it took too long for them to let him go. So I went in there to grab him, and they continue to pull and jerk and grab on me. And I'm a grown man with kids. You know what I mean? I don't care about any of that, you know. And at the end of the day, they're going to get punished for it. You know what I mean? You're going to catch his hand. I'm a grown man. You don't grab, pull on me. I don't put my hands on you. You don't put your hands on me. You put your hands on me, you're going to feel me. I don't. We do a lot of boxing with Ray. And, you know, I felt some of those combinations come out. I think he would have been proud of me. But at the end of the day, it was just one of those situations where you just can't let them take your whole, you know, it's their whole sideline against one of my teammates. And the rest of us were coming over, but everybody was trying to get him. But I as a leader, you can't let them do your teammate like that. You know, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of what's going down, I felt like they went over the top and I responded with over the top.
He knows what he's doing. He knows mm-hmm. exactly what he's doing. And he's trying to make sure that no one mistakes the 49ers for a defense that can be pushed around.
Didn't have to get there, but once they get there, you have to make a decision. You know what I mean? Either you let them treat your teammate however they're going to treat him, and that sets the standard. That sets the precedent. Or you go in there and let them know that regardless of the circumstances, cool, he was wrong, they're going to penalize him. You know, we don't need y'all extra stuff, you know, surrounding him and pushing him on your sideline. Like, that's unacceptable, and we're not going to take that.
It's just so rare and so wonderful to have an NFL player who consistently thinks his decisions through and then can just as consistently defend those decisions, not just intelligently or eloquently, but like at a Stanford level.
He just articulates it so we all immediately understand.
He is so good at explaining himself. And and especially for a guy with a perception of Richard Sherman is as this nut, this guy who flies off the handle, a trash talking, you know.
No,
measured and thoughtful and really smart.
Who's the greatest ex-player on the air for football who transitioned into broadcasting?
Romo.
The best of all time?
By far.
Sherman's going to be better.
I don't know about that, but he could be just as good. I think the gap between Tony Romo and every other color analyst I've ever seen in any sport is huge. Like, huge.
Yeah.
I think Romo,
it's amazing.
If I'm going to basketball, I can compare some of the real technician coach dudes like Hubie Brown or Doug Collins, right? But they're not as entertaining and lovable. They're a little more technical.
Right.
To have the combination of enthusiasm and youthful exuberance and knowledge and ability to break down the game, Romo is so much better than anything I've ever heard. He really, I find it remarkable.
And isn't he really good friends with Jim Nantz? Because some people are saying that's the only reason he got the job. Well, clearly that's not the only reason he got the job. Either that or he's the quickest study ever because he hit the ground running. He was great on day one.
Yeah, he's fantastic. Fantastic. And I don't care what other people think. They're wrong.
I'm surprised Eli Manning.
Better than Collinsworth, better than everybody.
I think Peyton Manning would be great at that.
I think so, but again, not as likable. Not as, well, he's likable. Not, I don't think he's as gregarious as Tony Romo. Have you watched the Peyton Manning detail stuff?
No, I haven't. I've heard
it's great.
It's
great, but it is
dry.
Very dry.
Because he's so good on Saturday Night Live, and I understand that's scripted, but you still need to have a pretty good sense of humor to pull off comedy, and he pulls it off. I'm going to be okay, though, but I'm looking forward to Richard Sherman. I'm not necessarily looking forward to his retirement, but I can't imagine him not transitioning into broadcasting. As eloquent as he is, as well thought of as he is around the league, I think there's going to be a bidding war for that guy. There should be, anyway. Hopefully he's got a few more years left, because I want to see him transition to safety. He's talked about that in the last few weeks. He's not ready for it just yet, but he's definitely thinking about it. So he's seeing a couple more years at least of his career.
Steven in Vallejo says Romo is not better than Jim Barnett, period. No argument.
Balls don't lie.
Fair enough. You will not get me to make an argument against the one and only JB here on 95.7 The Game.
Ball don't lie.
Balls don't lie.
Barnett's phenomenal. Local's different.
Yeah, definitely.
It's a different game. But in terms of national color analysts, there's a lot of trash every Sunday. I mean, there's some good stuff. You know, there's guys I like. I like a Charles Davis.
What do you think of Randy Moss?
I love Moss. Mm-hmm. But you're still, there's no one guy who gives you the level of enthusiasm, excitement, and also intelligent breakdown that Romo does. There just isn't.
He's gonna score, Jim!
Yeah. That's the exuberance I'm talking about.
What is that? Wrong button.
I love it.
That's Tony Romo reacting to an almost catch in last year's play.
I love it.
Wow.
I love it.
Orgasmic.
I love it. Ooh.
That was on the replay, too. He was watching the replay, and he was giving his live reaction of, ooh.
Look, I know Dibs doesn't like him. I don't care. I love Romo.
Oh, boy.
Oh, man. Somebody had Joe Morgan in baseball on the...
I just don't read that because I know that's not a person I have to respect or listen to.
Joe Morgan's
awful.
Insufferable.
He was awful.
Joe
Morgan might be the worst analyst I've ever seen. Literally, might be the worst. Someone wrote in our... Did you guys just write this? It says breaking? All right, Steven. I think this is a sign of the degraded nature of the phrase breaking news.
Well, it got you to read the thing, didn't it?
It did. Fair point. Mission accomplished. According to Frank Isola of The Athletic, the Knicks are, quote, all in, end quote, on their pursuit of Kevin Durant. He cited several league executives who echoed as much, and one player agent said, everyone says Knicks, when discussing which team Durant will play for next. Now, I just want to clarify, is that like how everyone said Lakers when discussing what team Paul George would play for? Or how everyone said Clippers and Lakers when discussing what team Kawhi Leonard would play for next? Is it like that? Is it the same everyone? Is everyone the same as those scenarios? We don't know. And breaking. The Knicks are all. Oh yeah, the Knicks want that. Oh, that the was, Knicks want Kevin Durant.
That was breaking when the Warriors were in New York to play the Knicks. Remember the 15-year-olds painted billboards.
That was breaking in July of 2014 when Kevin Durant was taking free agency calls. Of course, the Knicks want Kevin Durant.
They're all in.
14 was a 15. 15.
What does all in mean,
whatever,
by the way?
Whatever year it was, 16. Whatever year it was, the Knicks have wanted Kevin Durant since Kevin Durant was available to anybody besides the actual Thunder. Of course the Knicks want him. And the Lakers want him, and the Clippers want him, and a bunch of... There's like... One, two, carry the one. There's 29 NBA teams that want Kevin Durant, and the other one has him. That's how that works.
But just... Can I read this again for you?
Sure.
There's so many different things wrong with it. According to Frank Isola of The Athletic, the Knicks are, quote, all in on their pursuit of Durant. He cited several league executives who echoed as much, and one player agent said, everyone's saying Knicks. So, what are your sources again? Several league executives echoed as much, and an agent says, everyone says Knicks, which means the agent is saying... The rumor mill is saying Knicks.
Everyone says Knicks.
Breaking news.
Everyone says Knicks. Everyone's saying it, Michael.
This is duh.
Everyone says Knicks. Of course the Knicks are after Kevin Durant. The Knicks are 9-25.
The Knicks have been all in on every significant free agent for like the past decade.
Where's the example of the Knicks signing a major free agent?
Was it Amari Stoudemire? Was he the last guy?
Yeah, that didn't work out.
No, it didn't.
I think that's right. I think he was the last guy. And he was already, I feel like physically, he was already having major problems by the time he got to New York.
Yeah, he was a shell when he was at Madison Square Garden.
Look,
for sure.
Will Kevin Durant go to the Knicks? Maybe. Here's what's going to happen at the end of the year. Kevin Durant is going to take a couple days, you know, probably get very drunk after winning his third straight title. Possibly a third straight MVP, finals MVP. And after about a week of heavy drinking and probably, if we're honest, womanizing, Kevin Durant will do whatever the heck he wants to do. And what he wants to do at that time, based on what I've learned about Kevin Durant, it may not have anything to do with what he's feeling right now. It may not have anything to do with anything that happened during this year. He's going to make an adult decision like an adult. And what he's told us in the past is that, listen, I want to win. I want to play basketball the right way and win. And if he still feels that way, then this is where he'll be. He'll come back because this is the best opportunity he has to play good basketball and win titles. And if he decides it's legacy building time, it's time to have my own franchise, it's time to start from scratch, then yeah. The Knicks are a possibility, but nobody knows anything. And the fact that, quote, everyone says Knicks, end quote, from some player agent, come on, man. Frank Isola should be better than that. I know he's not, but he should be, having covered the NBA for 30 years or whatever it is. He should be better than, quote, everyone says the Knicks, end quote, anonymous player agent.
Not good. Can I submit my submission for text of the day? From the 510, Psycho Mike sent this. Breaking news, Draymond Green is all in on getting more money on his next contract.
Yeah. Yes.
That's about it.
That's right. I like Pete in Emeryville. It's the same everyone that Trump keeps hearing from. All the best people. All the best people are saying Kevin Durant is headed to the Knicks. That's what it is. Yes. That's what it is.
I had forgotten about that. That's my favorite one. I use all the best words. I have the best words.
I mean, I would agree with that. Your words are pretty cool. I think you got good words. Bonte Hill will take over coming up in about 22 minutes.
Hey,
he's
now
got Anthony Slater for a little Warriors talk. He's going to talk to the most controversial take artist in Bay Area football, Grant Cohn.
Ooh.
1 p.m. Plus, Bonte's got a dude, the official Lakers podcast host, so like employed through the NBA, does a podcast for Lakers.com, travels with the team, so he's on the inside of the sort of traveling circus that is the LeBron-led Lakers.
That's a sweet
gonna get that perspective in the 1 o'clock hour today with Bonte. We will talk to Bonte before we run out of time, but before we get to that, obviously... We went way down the Hall of Fame road today. I spent 5 minutes yelling about Frank Isola. We missed a lot. And that's why we bring Steven, nice guy Steven, in. I mean, there are many reasons we bring him in.
I sort of am a baller.
That's right. He sort of is a baller. Plus, there's a lot of people on the text line who are real sick of me.
Hate it or love it, I am not Matt Kolsky.
So you've got that going for you, which is nice. And as I was saying, we've missed a lot today, so we bring in nice guy Steven for a little pick up the pieces. You know, I do love this song by the Average White Band, the song Pick Up the Pieces. I've been thinking lately I need to cut the length of the lead up in half. So it's like, but there's like four measures of it, and I feel like two measures would be enough. Steven, your thoughts?
I think it works perfectly.
All right, fine.
Keep
fine.
The same.
You know what? Sometimes you have to admit when you're wrong. Let's stick with the intro music as it is. Steven, what is the first story we missed?
MLB's Instagram page posted a graphic captioned, "Are the Dodgers the favorite for Bryce Harper?" You know who liked the post? Bryce Harper. React!
I think this is like Bryce Harper.
You just yell react?
I love that, first of all. Second of all, how is this different from when Bryce Harper posts on Instagram about how beautiful San Francisco is?
Right?
It's not. It's no different.
Yeah. The guy's active on Instagram. I wouldn't read anything into it. That being said, I do think the Dodgers are the front runners. I would assume that's the reason they traded half of their outfield away.
And didn't go hard after Manny Machado coming back.
Well, I think that's because they got a taste of Manny Machado and they know like. They did not like that taste.
He cost himself some money.
They took a taste and they spat it out is what happened. Ooh, Manny Machado, I've heard that's good. Oh, disgusting. I don't want any more of that. That's what happened with Manny Machado. We did. What's next?
That was a good reaction, by
the way. Thank you.
We are going to move on to football. Yesterday, early morning in the Sunday, it was reported that the Cardinals are ready to move on from head coach Steve Wilks. It's his first year in the NFL.
Was that from a player agent? An anonymous player agent?
That was from the pregame show people on Fox. Now there are reports that the Cardinals and Mike McCarthy have mutual interest in each other. What would you do if you're Steve Wilks, though, considering you already have a week left in the season? How do you continue to coach this team with all these reports going on?
Can we just... hold on. Forget him. Okay? I don't know. You go, Herbs. These things...
I've stumped you, apparently.
I need you to summarize that. Be a little bit tighter with that, because I started going squirrel about halfway through.
Rookie head coach Steve Wilks is about to be fired, and still has a week left to coach.
The body hasn't even cooled yet, is what you're saying.
No, it's not that. Here's the problem. Steve Wilks stinks, okay? Maybe he's a good defensive coordinator. I don't know. I'm not that kind of expert to tell you how good of a defensive coordinator he is. Here's what I can tell you. You're building your team the wrong way. And if you look around the league, every rebuilt good team, in other words, every good team that is not the Patriots, follows a rubric that includes a young, creative thinking, offensive head coach. And most of the best ones then have an experienced, veteran defensive coordinator to help that young, inexperienced, but creative offensive head coach.
Like Adam Gase did, like Sean McVay did.
Like Matt Nagy did. The blueprint is out there. Even the Eagles last year. Doug Peterson, creative offensive mind, pair him with established defensive coaches. Boom. Win a Super Bowl with your backup quarterback. So Steve Wilks last year is hired. You hire a defensive coach in this era where offensive coaches and offensive football are all the rage. So first you screw up by hiring a defensive coach. If you've realized the screw up, how could you possibly then replace him with a coach we just watched fail to be creative for a decade with maybe the greatest quarterback talent of all time? I don't have the words. How can you figure out you screwed up?
I wish this was a visual medium right now.
And then do the same stupid thing. It's like if you figured it out this far, just take the extra half step to victory. Why? then you almost caught up to the league, and then you turned around and ran backwards for no reason. I just, thank God I'm not a Cardinals fan. This is how frustrated I get as a Bears fan. Oh,
what do you think, Larry?
That's something that's missing from the soundboard, Steven. They are what we thought they were.
They are who we thought they were. Should have remembered that one.
I can't believe we forgot that.
Yeah!
650 says, you're being untruthful and deflecting from the main issue at hand. Oh, he's responding to something I said to him on the text line. Never mind. 415, the Dodgers found out the taste of Manny Machado is the same as black licorice. How dare you, sir? Black licorice is perfectly mediocre. Manny Machado tastes terrible. Steven, what's the next story?
So cornerback DJ Swearinger.
That's got to be a drop at some point.
Manny Machado tastes terrible.
Moving on. So Redskins cornerback DJ Swearinger had some choice words for his defensive coordinator after their loss. And then it was reported him and Jay Gruden would have a meeting about this. He then went on to 106.7 The Fan in Washington for his weekly interview, and he actually broke a little news.
Let's start with this. Jay Gruden said he was going to speak with you today. You're live on the air. Has he spoken with you?
Yeah.
And how'd the meeting go?
I was released, so.
You were released by the Redskins?
So it went okay.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding at all, boss man.
Okay, well, we got a lot to discuss then.
I would like to know where that went. Wow.
How did that meeting go?
I can't believe he
poorly.
I can't believe he did the interview.
If you continue to listen on in the interview, he's actually very cordial and says, you know, he respects the organization and all that and gave his 100% effort and all that sort of stuff. So,
I mean, DJ Swearinger can't be the worst defensive back on Washington.
Not at all. He's really, really good, as a matter of fact. He was their captain. He wore the C on the jersey.
Has anyone explained this?
Not really. I guess Gruden just fired him over the comments for the defensive coordinator, so.
Wow.
Conduct detrimental to the team and you lose your job when you're good at your job?
For commentary, that's shocking.
Yeah.
Guys trash their coaches all the time.
Will the union go after him?
What's that?
I don't know if it's something the union can.
You're sort of, you're like a, what's the word for, you're employed at will employee in the NFL. You can basically cut guys. I don't know if they need a good excuse. That's what's shocking about that is for all the stuff they overlook in football, they're drawing the line at some nasty comments about the coordinator.
You can tell the radio hosts are just as shocked as, quite frankly, you two are right now.
He thinks he's kidding at first.
Just a bunch of shocked radio hosts.
Then he says, we got to talk about this. That's manna from heaven, man.
Yeah, that's, boy, if we ever have that situation, it's a nice twist for a radio show, that's for sure. Everybody tune in. DJ Swearinger says he just got fired for no reason.
And that was courtesy of 106.7 The Fan in Washington.
And thank you very much to them.
Are we ready to move on to the last story?
Yes, sir.
Just one more.
Yes, sir.
Can I suggest something that I believe I missed? And I want to know if you guys missed it, too.
100%.
The death of Rob Gronkowski. Not the literal death, but did you?
It's good you
I hadn't,
made the distinction.
I hadn't seen the Patriots this year until their last game. Gronk got one pass thrown to him, I think. One target and no catches, and he looks like he has fallen off huge. Like, he's done as an elite player.
I think a lot of what you said is true, but I would say do not sleep on him being targeted 35 times over the course of a playoff run before he retires, just because he's still big and strong and can really catch a football.
And they still double and triple team him like they always have. He's just coming off an injury. He's not as quick as he once was. So it's pretty tough.
He's not 100% out there for sure.
He doesn't move the way he used to, but he's still dangerous. Still very, very dangerous.
Right.
Final story, Steven.
So Luka Doncic.
Go ahead.
Rookie Luka Doncic showed us against the Warriors on Saturday that he's the real deal. Well, last night he did another thing. The Mavs were down to the Blazers 107-104 with 0.6 seconds left. The Mavs had the ball at their own baseline. They inbounded the ball with 0.6 seconds left, and this happened.
Got it.
Here
it
is.
In the corner, Luka! How did he do it? That is Luka magic! Incredible.
Scraping paint off the ceiling. That was on the top of Mount Hood.
Homeboy's good.
Who was that? And what was the word he said? Incredimarkable? Can we isolate that?
Did he make up a word?
Is that a thing that just happened?
I could try and isolate, or I could just play the entire sound clip one more time.
Let's hear it again.
Stop. I'll tell you where to stop it. Go ahead.
Got it.
Here it is. In the corner, Luka.
Incredible. What was that? He made such an incredible play. He actually caused the analyst
to
lose.
He broke the language.
He certainly broke whoever the analyst is.
Incredible. Oh, man.
That's awesome.
That's outstanding.
I was doing stats for Saturday night for the TV broadcast, so I was courtside for Luka. And first of all, I think I said this earlier, Warriors would not have cruised to that victory if he had not knocked himself out of the game by attacking a small child. I'm kidding, of course. He did bump into a small child, though. And by the way, that's going on the soundboard for sure.
I'm
going to
spell
Incredible. I don't know how to spell that.
Incredible.
Oh, my goodness. Do you think he did that on purpose? We got to find out who that is and find out
if it was Trey Burke who hit the shot, that would work. But
you know, sometimes people just smash words together to make crazy words. Cause someone might say it's redonkulous, you know, meaning it's more ridiculous than ridiculous. So it's possible that he went incredible. Was it incredible?
He had time to wind up, right?
Could have been like incredimarkable.
Burr that really gets me in there. I'd say it's going to be a mix of incredible and remarkable, but it's the burr.
Incredimarkable.
I don't know where he was going out with the burr.
Hold on, guys. Incredimarkable. Incredibercable. Can we agree on that?
No. I would replace that later E with a U.
Okay.
Berkable.
I'm with
you.
I have to agree with you on that one, Kolsky. Good
job. Because he goes dead. It's a clear buh sound. One more time.
Incredible.
That is so good. That's better than Dave Fleming's voice breaking
to
me.
How did you come up with that?
Incredible.
Look, Steven just looks around and finds the best stuff for us.
Nice guy Steven is incredible.
Oh, thank you.
I already know this. I get the great pleasure of working with nice guy Steven every day, not just Christmas Eve and Christmas Day.
And that energy that we got from you talking about Steve Wilkes earlier, that's the exact same energy you get from 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. every day, 5 to 6, Matt Kolsky, pregame show.
Yes. Just keep the same energy. I'll catch you in traffic.
Keep that same energy, y'all. 510 bringing up some low words. Herocious. Do we have some good low drops?
Give me one second.
I don't know where to find those.
What did you get a taste of? What did I ask for to get cut into a drop? He said... Just now, like 5 minutes ago.
Machado,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. We had a text about that, too, about the black licorice, which I thought was very unfair to black licorice.
Mm-hmm.
I 925 texter is wondering if this is somehow related to Doris Burke.
Ooh,
incredible. Yeah, maybe that analyst was just... giving a discreet and clever shout to the one and only, hey DB, Doris Burke.
If that's true, then that in itself is incredible.
More Doris Burke on broadcasts. Also, more Candace Parker on basketball broadcasts. More smart people who know how to break down the game.
Doris Burke is phenomenal.
On broadcasts in general.
Doris Burke is...
Ooh, incredible plus remarkable equals incredibarkable. That might be the closest thing we've gotten to an explanation of what happened there.
Berkable, not Barkable. They said Berkable.
Look, I tried to explain it. Derek Harper apparently is the TV analyst for the Mavs, and we did enjoy that. I very much enjoyed my time with you here today, Michael Urban.
Always a pleasure. As did I. I hope you have a good time at the movies. You said you're going to go to a movie today, right?
I might.
You might.
Might. Well, definitely tomorrow as a Jew on Christmas. It's just part of the tradition.
Today, Berkable.
Thank you. Today, unclear. It's been incredible working with you.
I'm going to be following your Twitter feed for the next 24 hours. I want to see incredible appear.
I want to see you tomorrow at 10 a.m. on 95.7 The Game.